This is a ListenUpNorth.com podcast. Greetings, Listen Up Northerners. Happy New Year. Hope you've enjoyed the festive season. Perhaps like me, you're wondering how you're going to get through the next few days. What with a tub of celebrations, a box of Thorntons, and a tin of chocolate bickies still to go. Hence New Year's resolution number one. Renew my subscription to the gym. The Listen Up Northmobile has been out and about in the holiday period, including watching the sunset on the old year as I took a bracing walk along the beach at Seaton Sands, and a visit to an atmospheric Ullswater on New Year's Day. Now on to New Year's resolution number two, to continue uploading great audio content to ListenUpNorth.com for you to enjoy. So we start 2013 with two very different pieces from Newcastle-based writer G.F. Phillips, whom I had the pleasure of meeting through ListenUpNorth.com contributor Keith Armstrong, and whose work shows such a wide breadth of talent. Firstly, we have a comic poem about football.
ListenUpNorth.com presents Olaf Finnegan, the man for both flanks. This is written and read by G.F. Phillips and was recorded in the Mining Institute, Newcastle-upon-Tyne. The poem is from a collection of verses, Mr. Footer's Footloose Wanderer's Verses. Our winger is schizoid, but only in name. He's Olaf and Finnegan, half Celt and half Dane. He's blonde and he's blue-eyed and he knows about rain. And he's nimble and speedy, he goes like the wind, and he's known to most fans as a flying Finn. He's a man on a mission when the ball comes to him, and then it's run and cross, when he can, if he can. How he loves open spaces and all that fresh air, and that's how he stands out on his own. The fans stare, for his foot's on the ball, he'll hold his head in the air. Now he'll cheer at all the hacks on the daily depress. When he takes on the fullback, he's out to impress, and leaves the man sitting on his bottom at rest, and the mud on his shorts is a mark of the test. And now he has started, he can't seem to end, for he's given a lesson in how not to defend, as he takes on that fullback and does it again. And then it's run and cross, when he can, if he can. Now he's on the back pages, it brings fans to the ground. He's mighty superior, his position safe and sound. He's young and he's restless, but there's the things he can do, for the girls dig his looks and they dig for gold too. So it's all a bit hectic, Olaf's contract is up, and that's why this agent will spice it all up, for he'll do a good job and the girls bring him luck. So he says, and now Olaf's wanted on both flanks and set, whether shooting his looks in some newfangled specs, how he loves all the extras, he's an extra himself, and they'll pay him each word he spouts from his mouth. And at Christmas he's booked in for Babes in the Wood, when he'll step on the stage in his strip, he'll look good. He'll go round, I'm sure, in a faultless display, as if trees were the players who stood in his way, and he'll do it for real when it comes to match day. And then it's run and cross, or he'll do it on his own. And here is the clue, when he jinks to the left, he's gone past their sweeper, his path has been swept. There's a good chance the flying Finn will have the ball kept a little while longer at his big happy feet. It's all one-way traffic, it's his one-way street. And two players behind him were both easy meet, and the men at the front, they have all gone tongue-tied. He won't give them the ball, well, it's no big surprise. Till he's tripped, it's a free kick, and also his demise. And now in conclusion, he must pass the ball, but not necessary to who makes the call. And he's back on the left flank and free of disgrace, for the free kick he took was his saving grace.
And now a short story about the brutalities faced by those farming in Zimbabwe.
ListenUpNorth.com presents Home Tomorrow, written and read by G.F. Phillips and recorded in the Mining Institute, Newcastle-upon-Tyne. Mobs are indiscriminate. They are no different than Mashonaland, except they're poor and war-weary. But no excuses. You either leave your farm or you don't. But even though you knew they were coming, it didn't make it any easier. Those vultures in Harare called it the popular will. We called it pig's will. Still, I knew a little bit about the art of survival. I had a smattering of Polish from both my parents. Yet Hebrew has given me an undying love for my father and the seven crops of his groves. And in the desert war of 73, a pinch of Arabic taught me to always keep an ear to the ground, stony or otherwise. So now it's good to be in England, in this safe house amongst comrades. Oh, you're so lucky to have a big guardian angel protecting you. Since their independence in 1980, I've been a man of the soil again. My wife is from Mashonaland too. My two sons are a grateful harvest. I had 100 workers under me. We were set up for life. But mobs play it by their own rules. Over years, those vultures passed laws that gave them the right to grab their land back, any way, anyhow. One day last month, two of them came and smashed down part of the wire perimeter fence. They chased away a few of my workers, breaking the arms and legs of those holed up in the sheds. The fear was, if the other workers helped out the victims, they get the same treatment themselves. And your last breath is always your last breath. The screams and shouts are a warning to us all, right? They come again, and most likely at night, when most bad things happen under occupation. We'd be the last to expect punishment. We were the owners, and so a bit special. There was no choice. We left the very next day, but my right-hand man, as chief guard, was rounded up by the mob. According to reports, the men came in an old Mercedes-Benz into the farmyard. They abandoned it. How do you say? It was clapped out. They were all armed with catapults and iron bars, straightforward weapons, and most effective at close quarters. They stripped the place clean, and then, no doubt, those vultures would sell the assets and, in return, feed off a few more dollars. As for our escape route, not even my right-hand man knew. So if he confessed anything under torture, it would be a lie. But he knew I'd go my separate way. But now I've got word that my wife and two sons have been tailed to South Africa. In the morning, I am flying from Heathrow to Joburg. We must meet up, replan, start again. So I don't know where home will be tomorrow, or the next day, or even the day after that. Not when you're on the run, and trouble is always following you.
I'd now like to tell you about two films from some great Northeast filmmaking talent. Firstly, from friend and mentor Jan Carwood of Tin Man Films, whose past work includes 55 Seconds about the Saltburn Cliff Lift. Jan has once again produced some brilliant work with A Jacket for Life, a fascinating portrait of the relationship between Barber and its customers, as seen through the customer services department at South Shields, as they bring old jackets back to life. You can find Jan's film, A Jacket for Life, on the Tin Man Films UK channel on Vimeo. From experienced filmmaker Jan to those just starting out, my daughter Rosie is part of The Factory, a group of young people at the Tyneside Cinema who have recently held the world premiere of their film Sleep is Little Slices of Death. Featuring Robin Piette, who has performed in ListenUpNorth.com radio plays, part of Sleep is Little Slices of Death was filmed on location in the beautiful Art Deco cinema of the Tyneside, and part was filmed in our spare bedroom. The stabbing scene was filmed down an alley in Newcastle, where passers-by almost called the police. Sleep is Little Slices of Death can be found on the Conveyor Belt Films channel on YouTube. Well, that's it from the ListenUpNorth.com podcast. If you're listening to this and don't already subscribe to our free newsletter, then please sign up on the homepage of ListenUpNorth.com and we will keep you informed about all our new audio content. Happy listening from ListenUpNorth.com.